in the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie.
Okay, first of all,
the world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to power, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bowker.
Time boxing champion Anna Houlihan going to be making her Bellator MMA debut October 20th, facing off with Lisa Blaine, Bellator 185. How's it going?
Oh, it's great. Thank you so much, Dylan, for saying my last name correctly. I'm smiling really, really, really wide right now, so I appreciate that.
Oh, I have a last name that gets botched horribly all the time. My last name is Bowker, but it spells it out like it's Bowker, so people phonetically just botch it every time. So I know the struggle a little bit. No, but I was wondering about this upcoming fight here, because it's your first MMA bout since December of 2015. I mean, you've been active in the boxing scene since that point, but why did it feel right to sort of come back to MMA at this juncture?
Oh, it's crazy because, you know, life just happens to line up, you know, in the most amazing ways, and I couldn't ask for a better opportunity than to fight for Bellator. Number one, women's MMA is definitely on the rise. The 125 division is, you know, just opened up, and, you know, and it's live. A lot of competition, a lot of highly anticipated bouts. There's a title fight that's happening in November, that I'm definitely going to be looking out for. But, you know, I've been going through my whole journey as a martial artist. For those who know me as a boxer, I actually started in martial arts. I did taekwondo when I was a kid at the age of 10. I've been to Korea twice, won a junior Olympics. I've done it for about 10 years, got into traditional temple karate, got my black belt then. That's how I met my coach right now, Angela Reyes. And through that, I was able to cross train into the boxing world. And through my coach, Angela, he was able to have me meet the likes of a Freddie Roach and Roger Mayweather out here in Las Vegas. And, you know, with all that said, I was able to also dabble a little bit into the grappling world. I stepped into the wrestling ring for a couple of years, got to meet the likes of Frank Mir and just kind of, you know, just picked his brain a little bit about the difference between jiu-jitsu versus jiu-jitsu for MMA. And it's just been a roller coaster ride of just martial arts education. And I feel like I'm a brand new fighter. I feel like I figured out my style. I was able to spend the past couple of years just focusing a lot of me, understanding my body type, understanding how I can put my experiences into good use and be effective in the cage. And with this opportunity with Bellator, allowing fighters like myself, boxers, to have a boxing license and an MMA license and then fight on the stage, and then the next couple of months have a possibility to have a boxing match. I mean, gosh, you know, the opportunities are limitless. So why fight? I say it's that. You know, the timing's right.
No, absolutely. You've articulated on a lot of great points there. I think Bellator is really looking towards the future of, you know, what combat sports is, and as far as, you know, how to promote certain talent and whatnot. But I really enjoyed the fact that you kind of put the sole focus on wrestling at one point. I mean, especially being a champion caliber boxer. I mean, a lot of people would probably find that daunting to start something totally new like that. But was it, you know, exciting for you on like a creative sort of level to sort of start from scratch in a new discipline?
Oh, it was everything. Every emotion I probably felt, you know, just to be at a certain level in boxing and to just kind of, you know, lower my head a little bit and start from scratch and just get involved with a totally different culture, different concept, different type of people, different body types, different everything. You know, the game is so different. I had to really just open up my mind, empty my cup, so to speak, and just kind of learn the fundamentals and the essence of wrestling, which I absolutely appreciate 100%. It's a phenomenal art, not easy to do. And for me, it's fun. If I were to watch a wrestling match or if I were to watch an MMA fight, I can see who has a really good collar tie or has a really good stance. And, you know, that I can appreciate because it takes so much effort. It takes so much time, so much repetition, so much passion to get something like that developed. But yeah, I felt every emotion. There were times where I was like, scared out of my pants. I'm like, I don't know what's next. Oh my gosh, I've never seen this before. I've never been lifted, off the ground like this. I'm so used to having my feet on the ground. And, you know, just to have this idea and have this brand new eye develop for my self-awareness as a fighter, it was amazing. It was an adventure. And it was pretty cool to be able to, you know, understand the fundamental lines of the wrestling and see how that also can relate to the lines of the jiu-jitsu art, and then have all of that just line up even with a martial art line. And so for me, it's just beautiful in all of its essence. People would say, well, every art is limited. I mean, it's only limited if you don't find the infinite ability to make something masterful. But if you can actually combine every element of every limitation, oh my gosh, you got a work of art, you know. So just having that experience for the past few years has been eventful. I love it. It makes me feel like a kid again. I'm just happy. I'm really just happy to be where I'm at.
No, and that's really cool to hear. And there's really something to be said for that whole, you know, just continuing to learn and bridging that fluidity between, you know, going from like a wrestling based attack to like a boxing sort of approach after that. So it must be fun sort of building that fluidity between disciplines, because I can't imagine that's altogether easy.
Yeah, no, it's fun, but I tell you what, you get your ass whooped a lot because you just have to really understand, you know, the use for it, and you have to just time it right at that moment. And so, like when I was mentioning about having a good collar tie, having really good balance work when you're doing the wrestling aspect of it, I mean, that translates into everything else. That I can appreciate, because that, you know, that's how I view every day when I step into the gym. You know, it's just making sure that, you know, my technique is crisp. You know, so if I'm going to do a double leg, it has to be as crisp as my jab that I'm learning from my coach Angelo Reyes, or even from the jab that I learned from the Freddie Roach. So it's everything is just so dynamic. Like I said, it's limitless. There's so many things that a person can learn from, and it's important to be disciplined enough to also understand that you have to have a good idea of who you are and who you're not, if that makes any sense. Because it's easy to fall into the limitless of martial arts and all the beauties of it, but to actually pursue everything, everyone's different. Everyone has a different body type. Everyone has a different experience level. Everyone has a different flexibility level. And so just finding the right mixture of what works for me, has been a journey all in its own. And so I feel like I'm just tapping the surface of it, and I definitely would love to just explore more, you know, as I adventure on into Bellator.
No, you really have a great mentality about it. And I was also going to want to touch on the decorated amateur career you had. So I'm wondering just how invaluable it was to have that sort of foundational knowledge, both in terms of building skill, but also a certain amount of confidence and familiarity as you get to the pro ranks.
For boxing, oh my gosh, it's just trying to wrap it all up in such short form, because now the thing with boxing, like for me, I see it as a martial arts, because there's just so many different levels. Like for anyone to compete into the amateur levels of boxing, I mean, there's just so many different levels. You can do a regular show that happens every weekend if you want to, like, build up your record, build up your experience. And then it's a whole nother thing to delve into once you get into the national tournaments, which I had to do. It took a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money. My gosh, just to get that experience. And then going to the pro ranks, you know, the game changes altogether again. There's certain things that judges look for. Your opponents, they're not so necessarily going to be they won't necessarily have the clean technique as you would see in amateur boxing, because it's a lot more physical. You may have a couple of elbow sneak in, a couple of headbutts, a couple of trips. It gets very physical in there. And just to also understand the difference between going through a 4-rounder, a 6-rounder, 8-rounder, and so forth, all the way up to the championship rounds. I mean, the mentality is so different, and the approach and the way that you build something like that up is so different. I really have to thank my coach Angelo for just having us hook up with Freddie Roach, because the way that he had everything set up with all of his fighters, I mean, you got to imagine this is something that has been built for generations deep. He learned from Eddie Fudge, who himself was a fighter, has amassed amazing, you know, tremendous world champions. Like, you have the Joe Frazier's, you have the Ken Norton's, and you have the Freddie Roach's, and you have Freddie Roach, who had all these amazing fighters. And, you know, it's very interesting. Like, when I was going through it, I didn't realize how valuable it was until I stepped away from it, where I'm at right now, going to the martial arts. And now I can start to see a lot of the science right behind it, and how much time and effort has been taken upon to even just the setup of how to groom a fighter to become a world champion. So anyway, with that said, like, I'm trying to see, on a daily basis, I'm like crafting the lines of the boxing circuit to the MMA circuit, and how that can also relate to the martial arts and the grappling and so forth. But yeah, I can keep talking, you know, more and more about it. But having an amateur background in boxing, oh my gosh, it's definitely different. And yeah, I can almost tell what kind of techniques people have when they go into a cage, and if I hear what they've accomplished in boxing, whether it's amateur, national level, or even if it's a four-round professional fight, six, or championship fight, I can almost tell what kind of fighter they are and what kind of techniques that they will end up having as they step into the cage. It's very educational.
No, it's very interesting. I love hearing your insights on that, but I was wondering what your thoughts on your upcoming opponent was. I mean, Lisa, not really much to go off of, a TKO stoppage in her lone pro win. It's also her Bellator debut there as well. Do you feel like your big stage experience will be like a big sort of psychological edge going into fight night, or do you see that not being a factor at all so much?
I'll tell you what, in combat sports, anything can happen. So whatever people see on past fights or whatnot, Don't be surprised if you see something completely different. So I know my opponent, she's coming off of two knockouts, actually. One in the pros, one in her last amateur fight. She ended up stopping her last opponent. So, you know, I'm looking for a game opponent, but obviously that's something that I've been used to, and just going into the boxing world. Like, I fought at 122 pounds in boxing. It's a very stacked division. There's a lot of women that I fought all over the world who or just coming after me, just try to take what I've built up over the past several years. And you know, it's very competitive, and I feel like it's no different in Bellator. It could be, you know, this opponent that I have to my next opponent, all the way up to, you know, trying to go for that world title run. So I expect all my fights to be competitive, and that's what makes me so excited about going into the gym, is that I know as soon as I step into the cage, or even if I step outside of the gym, you know, people are always going to be using me as a target. And it for me, and it might sound a little weird, because I find that kind of fun, not fun, but it's exciting for me, because again, my base is martial arts, nevertheless self-defense martial arts, and it rolls into the same attitude. As soon as you step out of the door, be ready to face 10,000 foes, whether it's a physical foe or even a mental foe. You know, I have mental pressures within school or work, personal issues, et cetera. And it's all about being able to keep everything controlled, maintained, and just coming out on top of putting yourself in a successful position, on top of having everyone else around you in a successful and safe position. So anyway, with all that said, you know, I can only take it for what it is. I'm not thinking any more. I'm not thinking any less. I'm just so excited. I'm so thankful, and I'm so honored, actually, to be fighting for Bellator, who's being run by Scott Coker, who is the father of women's MMA. And for me, I think that right there is just that statement, I believe, is just a fight all in itself. For me to even just step into the cage like that, finally coming back home in the United States to fight, because I fought all over the world for the past several years, and to finally come back home, it just means so much. It's so defining for me to know that everything that I do every day, there's a purpose for it. So yeah, that's all I can really say about that. I'm just really happy. I'm sorry, Dylan. I'm just happy.
No, that's awesome. And I didn't mean to come off as disrespectful to Lisa Blaine necessarily. I mean, definitely that one professional knockout win and the one amateur knockout win. So definitely someone you got to got to be looking forward there. And I mean, I was just wanting to talk about boxing as well, though, because I feel like it's kind of like a big kind of banner year for boxing in the sense that a lot of big fights are coming to fruition, like the Triple G Canelo fight that happened recently, Lomachenko Rigondeaux in December. So has that been exciting to sort of see? Because the knock on boxing for a while seemed to be, oh yeah, but the big fights don't come together towards the end. But I feel like 2017 has been a bit different in that sense.
No, it's definitely a new era. And to have these fights finally happen, it's just, oh my God, it's just re-sparking that fuel for boxing fans here in the United States. I mean, globally, it's still very popular. Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko. They ended up selling, what, the sold-out arena at Wembley Stadium, 90,000 seats.
Yeah, great.
Pay-per-view buys all over the world and stuff, yeah. So it's obviously super exciting to have it here. More alive with the North American audience, and it's nice to actually have it on free TV. Like, I believe at least here in the United States, the Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux fight will be featured on ESPN. I'm not sure where else it might be featured on TSN in Canada. I'm not sure where it will be in Mexico, but I mean, yeah, these are fights that fans have been wanting to see for a very long time. The Canelo Triple G fight finally happened, and man, what a turnout that was, right? But it's nice to, you know, despite all the ups and downs and all the controversies they have with boxing, it's actually nice to kind of love it all over again. So, I look forward to an exciting year in 2018. Hopefully I can actually contribute in something like that with my boxing promoter, Alan Tremblay. And we could do something spectacular like that, with the possible networks out here in North America. So, yeah, the opportunities, like I said, it's looking grand for fighters. Male or female. There's so many things that fighters can get into. I believe there's starting to be a pathway where you can start in the amateur system, going to the pros, and then you just start thinking about commentating or expanding your brand as a fighter, you know, after you retire fighting. And it's just nice. It's just nice to have that be available for people like myself, who I remember back when I was in fifth grade, my teacher asked me to write an essay about one of my favorite things, and I swear, I wrote an essay about my favorite kata in Taekwondo. And I mean, what can you do with that type of child back then when you didn't have an outlet like this today? So it's for me, it feels like in a lot of ways, I'm able to defeat a lot of odds where I can still follow my passion. As hard and as big of an uphill battle as it is, the opportunity is still out there. And it's just so alive that I can only just appreciate it for every second that is fresh in my eyes.
No, that's really cool. It's amazing you wrote an essay about a single kata there. I think that speaks these volumes about your passion for it. But just talking about the MMA and boxing and just doing that concurrently, do you have any particular goals mapped out for boxing going ahead, or just kind of like take certain challenges as they're presented to you? I know the Heather Hardy fight is something you want, but is there anything maybe outside of that that's kind of piquing your interest?
I mean, I think the definite goal for any fighter is to go for the title. I would love to be able to have a title in MMA and also in boxing. And so it's a tough mountain to climb, but you know, I'm not afraid to go through the depths of it. So since the opportunities are out there, that's definitely what I'm shooting for. While at the same time, you know, just be thankful for the body that I have and just be thankful with the people that I have around me. So that's my answer for that.
No, that's cool. It's always good to be goal-oriented there, and you seem to be really just passionate about martial arts and continuing to learn more. So I'm wondering what you took out of attending the Ultimate Fighter 26 tryouts there. So it must have been interesting being around a lot of the, you know, top women's flyweights in the world.
I'll tell you what, it's completely different than boxing because that was a last-minute thing. I didn't intentionally even want to go through that. I wasn't even in my sights. I was getting ready for a boxing match, so I ended up getting a phone call late that evening, like around midnight, just to go and attend that event, which happened 8 hours later. So I had to deal with the morning traffic on top of signing a whole bunch of contracts and filling out a whole bunch of forms as I go through that. But it was actually refreshing to see a whole lot of women congregate under the same roof with a professional demeanor, just trying to pursue something that they love. If that were a boxing event, I would say that I don't say I'd be wrong if you have a whole bunch of other female fighters with their own camps in there, and you can feel a lot of tension in the air. Versus with that experience, there wasn't. So I thought it was refreshing, and it was interesting to see more of a corporate take on how they ran everything. Their schedules, there's a lot of waiting, a lot of papers you use, a lot of interviews you got to do. You got to show a little bit of your skill here and there. And it was just interesting. I almost felt like, I was trying to go for American Idol or something like that. Versus like in boxing, you kind of have that mom and pop feel. You can just go directly right up to whoever's running the event and just talk to them. And it doesn't have to be so corporate. It was a great experience, and I'm glad I didn't fall through with that show. I'm definitely happy to be with Bellator. I really believe Bellator is the next phase for fighters, whether you're in MMA, if you're in kickboxing, Muay Thai, or even in boxing, because they have these unlimited opportunities for fighters to brand themselves, have the ability to have more activity in their fight career. And endorsements, working on sponsorship deals. I'm not saying it's good for everyone, because you have to be a certain someone to be in an organization like that. But for someone like me, I feel like, man, it's such a win-win scenario, especially with the exposure that they're able to give out for fighters. So yeah.
All right, Dylan, last question here.
All right, yeah. No, I mean, you articulated all of that very, very well there. I was just wondering if you wanted to add anything as we're wrapping up here. You've been really good with your time and provided a lot of really good insight.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for your support, Dylan, and thank you so much for saying my last name correctly. It's a battle that I've been trying to fight since the amateurs, so... it really goes a long way for me. But yeah, thank you so much for the time. And, as a woman in a male-dominated sport, it's nice to actually get that support from media outlets like yourself. So thank you for your time.
No problem. Yeah, and with Bellator, maybe you could have, like, a big flashy entrance, come out with a personalized Wonder Woman mouthpiece, maybe have JR serenade you on stage again.
Yeah, maybe I could do that on the next fight or something where I have a little more time to play that up.
No, we're really, on a serious note, it's been great with your time and your insight. So, yeah, just really appreciate that and hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Dylan. Take care.